if the Seattle management isn't giving you their time of day, what makes you think that Jerry Jones is going to listen to you?
Sometimes they're blowing teams out by 10. Come on now. When they're on, they're on.
Again, I'm going to need you to write LeBron a letter, send it to him, and say, Bron, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to hop off your bandwagon. Don't do that.
Welcome, nurse, to the Pot Sports, presented by Clover Crest Media Group and Rocky Hill Accountants. I'm your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Riley Barrett. How you doing today, my brother?
Chilling. You?
Doing good. You know, one of our guys is missing in action. Our guy, Sander, hopefully he's going to have his baby today. So we wish him and his lovely girlfriend, Carol, hopefully a smooth delivery of the baby does come today. Good luck, guys. But we're here to talk sports pride, and I'm very excited because the NBA playoffs just keep getting better and better, and I got to start out with what happened last night in Game 3 in Atlanta because, hey, the Bucks came and showed out. You know, they showed why they're the higher seed and why they're the better team and favorite to win this series. They came out to Atlanta and won a game 113-102 to take a 2-1 lead, and now Milwaukee has won the past two games, pride, and it really looks like momentum is starting to swing in favor of the Bucks. But, you know, we got one more game in Atlanta. It's not going to be easy, but, you know, they could go back to Milwaukee, possibly up 3-1. But nonetheless, how impressive was the road win yesterday from Milwaukee?
Very, very. For me, anyway, it was extremely. And the reason I'm going to say it was impressive is because look, everyone was saying that, like, especially you, JJ, that this Atlanta team at home was supposed to be vicious. And they were like, you know, they like, oh, we don't know if the Bucks could win. And the Bucks just was like, okay, that's fine. Have your opinion. You're wrong.
Ron, I came out here and said they're gonna be the culture vultures and gonna rip them apart.
Yeah, and the thing, and I said this Sunday. I never quite understood why everyone was saying that Atlanta is a difficult place to play. I've never understood that because to me, it's like I can name four teams that had rowdier, like, you know, home courts. The Knicks, the 76ers. At times, the Bucks and the Nets, those four teams right there, the only team you can make an argument for is the Bucks. But other than that, of the final four teams, they have the second best home court advantage in the Eastern Conference, and there's only two teams left in the Eastern Conference. You know, like, I never understood it, but they came out. What impressed me the most was they came out, they played, but Chris Middleton showed up. He needed to deliver, and he gave them a cool 38, an official 38, might I add. He came, he ended up, and look, maybe this is a conversation we need to have. Maybe later, maybe. But is it possible? I was joking around when I said this earlier, when I said Chris Middleton is Batman. It's a possibility that's not a joke anymore. Because in the fourth quarter, when it was time to take over, they gave the ball to Middleton, and Middleton did his thing. He did whatever he needed to do. So I was impressed, but the reason I was impressed is because they kind of reverted back to who they were. They focused on defense. They were like, look, there's going to be crucial possessions where our defense is going to bail us out. They relied on their defense to bail them out, and then while they were doing that, Chris Middleton stepped up. Now, if Chris Middleton doesn't step up, maybe we're having a different conversation. Can he continue to step up? That's going to be a question that we're going to have. I think the Bucks are kind of like up and downish. You know what I mean? That's why me personally, I got this going in seven games. Yeah. Because the whole 1 minute, yeah, we're the second coming to Golden State, and then the next minute, okay, let's go back to focus our defense. I think that's too sporadic. You know what I mean? You got to know yourself. You got to know your worth, and then you got to stick with it. So, but in terms of them showing up and putting their foot down, I was definitely impressed because my concern was, would they come out lackadaisical? Would they come out with the same energy they had game one? That was the concern. I don't really care if they're home or away. If you're coming out with that energy, with the, it doesn't matter, it's going to be a breeze. If you come out with that energy, you're going to lose 8 out of 10 times. And the other two times, one of those, the two times that you end up winning, one time you're lucky, and the other time the other team just had a horrible night. Yeah. So, you know, like I was impressed. I'm very curious to see where they go from here or if they can continue to keep this up, which I hope so. I really do. Giannis, honestly, he had a great game. he gave you 33. P.J. Tucker, yeah, I mean, he really didn't do much, but he's just there for defense. We all know that. He's not really the dude. He's a dude who'll give you a couple corner threes here and there sometimes, and he'll play defense. Brook Lopez gave you 10. Drew Holiday didn't really – he had a horrible night. But, again, I'm willing to live with that because if I'm not mistaken, he shot 2 for 11, if I'm not mistaken. Wasn't really good, but not only did he focus on Trae Young, and he made some crucial defensive plays when they mattered. I'm not going to say that he locked them down, but there were a couple plays he made that the Bucks really needed that ended up, you know, being kind of pivotal. He stopped shooting because when he realized I don't have it, Middleton has it. That's something not a lot of teams have. You need a Drew Holiday, a dude who can step up and be that second guy. But when he sees the original second guy doing his thing, we'll go, I ain't messing that up. I'm not going to be that guy who's going to like.
And if anybody doesn't think you need a Drew Holiday on your team, just think about this. Klay Thompson is the best version of a Drew Holiday. Yes,
exactly. So, 110%. Where if you put him down, he's a third option. If he sees everything else is working, he'll fall back and he'll mind his business. And if you need him to pop off, he'll give you 37 and a quarter. So that's a perfect – you definitely need that guy. So I like that. I think as long as the Bucks continue to focus on their defense, I think they're going to end up winning the series. I did say on Sunday that – I knocked on my mic. I'm silly. But I did say on Sunday, whoever wins this game, I believe will win the series. And I do still think that. I do because this – for me, this was a pivotal game because, like I said, in terms of the Bucks, they had to make some they didn't have to make that many adjustments. They basically had to react to whatever the Hawks did. The Hawks are the one who had to make major adjustments. They made those adjustments. Unfortunately, it didn't work out with them in the end. But I'm not gonna lie, JJ. I'm very impressed with this Bucks performance.
Yeah, and I thought it was a good performance as well, Pride. You know, but before we go anywhere, you know, for everybody that doesn't know, you keep mentioning you're talking on Sundays. Prime does have his solo show on Sundays at 11 a.m., so make sure you guys check him out on Sundays. Show us love on a weekend because we love just giving you guys some sports stuff on the weekdays, but we do love fitting you guys on the weekend as well, so make sure you check him out. He's great solo as well. But nonetheless, Pride, I do believe that it was a good win. You know, I think anytime that a team goes on the road and gets a victory, you got to give them credit because even if the other team slacked off, they slacked off on their home court. So you just got to take advantage of that. But I really do think that the whole game shifted when Trae Young got injured. And you know what? I'm not giving the ref no slack, no ish, because he was in the appropriate zone where he could stand. And Trae Young just misjudged it, stepped back too far, rolled his ankle and, you know, ended up missing some time and ended up coming back, you know. And at the point where he came back, the Hawks were up by 2. Oh, no, I'm sorry, by 5. I believe the score is 93-88 in the fourth. And he just wasn't the same player, didn't have the same burst. Everybody knows Trae Young, you know, if he can't get by, he's going to shoot the 3, and he's not a good 3-point shooter. But he's decent enough where you got to respect it. Yesterday, he hit one of those logo 3s, and it was a great shot. For anybody that missed it, go check it out. It was awesome. You know, it's just classic Trae Young. But nonetheless, you know, like, I really do think that, you know, so we have the question. It says, did the Bucks win it or did the Hawks lose it? Listen, Chris Middleton's 38 was impressive, and it was the key to the victory of the game for Milwaukee, and that's undeniable. Without Chris Middleton going off the way he did, this team has no chance to win this game. But on the flip side, and 100% Trae Young in the third quarter before he rolled his ankle already had 32. And they were leading the game the whole time. So do I think that if Trae Young, you know, was he going to stay cooking? Maybe. That's something we'll never know now. But I do think that him 100% was possibly going to be able to be enough to hold down the lead. Meanwhile, Middleton got hot because I don't know, Pride. It's just tough because you always wish the team stay 100% throughout the whole game to get the best evaluation. But, hey, I got to give Middleton a lot of credit because yesterday he really put up a display.
100%. But the thing is with this whole Trae Young got injured thing, he was like he ended up playing almost 40 minutes.
Yeah, he came back.
Right, he had came back. And when he came back, me personally, it don't look like it. It didn't look like the ankle. If you watch that play, his ankle didn't turn. It didn't do nothing wild. What it looked like is he just slipped and fell. That's all it really looked like. What I think happened, I just think he was tired. I mean, you're playing a whole bunch of minutes. Those minutes are going to catch up to you. You know, like, it, like it, For instance, the best example I give you, Joel Embiid. Granted, Joel Embiid is bigger, but when you're straight up, it's kind of the same thing because Trae Young is basically their ball handler. So yeah. when you have that much workload on you, eventually you're gonna get tired. So to me, I don't think it was the ankle injury. I just think he was tired, and because it got to the point where like when he would try to penetrate, it didn't look like he was limping. It just looked like that, like he would try to penetrate and he just looked slow. Not because of his ankle or anything, but he just was tired. The explosiveness was gone and it was just fatigue. And the reason I say that is because when he came back, I forgot who it was. Somebody made a bucket and he thought it should have been like an and-one call. And he's jumping, literally jumping on the sideline. So for me, it's like you're jumping on the sideline. You're running around. You're doing all this stuff. Then you get in the court, all of a sudden you want to be like, oh, it was the ankle. It's like, I can't give you that pass because not only did you come back, but at the same time, you're jumping on the sidelines. You're running to the ref. You're on the verge of getting a tech. You got guys on the bench having to hold you back. So it's like, if you can run.
I'm not going to come here and call it a pass, but I do think that two things can be true. I do think that the ankle did play a significant part in the decrease in the play. And I do think he could have got fatigued. You're right. Not only did he play over 40 minutes, but you got to remember, you mentioned that he's small. So, like, those natural bumps that these guys take probably do a little more wear and tear on a smaller body like his than it would be a Joel Embiid, a freak like LeBron James, you know, that he's just – but nonetheless, you know, he just gets more contact than other guys. But, listen, I do got to call out one guy that really let me down last night because, you know, I'm rooting for the Hawks. I said Hawks in six, and now I'm falling behind a little bit. I don't really like that. But my guy Bogey Bogdanovic, he doesn't look 100% either. Going out there, I believe, 3 for 15, just really taking – not necessarily taking bad shots, but not making shots, you know. And then, you know, you mentioned how Trae Young slowed down, fatigued. Maybe if you're Nick Mullen, McMillan, do you take him out and keep Lou Williams in? Lou Williams wasn't in the sense having a Lou Williams night, but at the moment he was a fresher pair and healthier pair of legs compared to Trae Young. But you know, but the same, but you know what that reminded me of, Pride? It reminded me of James Harden and that Brooklyn series where clearly he was limited, but you need the decoy. You still got to respect that he's James Harden. Just like Milwaukee is like, well, we got to respect Trae Young because he's Trae Young.
But, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I'm sure going into game four, you know, they're going to go into the lab, evaluate how it's going to be like that, and the adjustments will be made, and we'll see how seriously they're going to take Trae Young as a threat going into game four.
Oh, yeah, 100%. But the thing is the difference between the Nets and this Hawks team is that Lou Will is a bucket. Like, the Nets didn't have another guard who could step up and be like, oh, yeah, I'm a bucket. Like, but I wouldn't have played Trae Young.
You know, I would agree with you, but he hasn't been a bucket this series. Like, he hasn't been very efficient in the series because they're just defensively very good and just making life hard for him. He's a smaller guard, like just like Trae Young is. So he's not getting your natural buckets. Do I think he's still able to do a lemon pepper Lou on you? Absolutely. But he just hasn't been that guy in this series so far. And maybe with now Trae Young being limited, maybe he steps into that role better.
That's a possibility because remember, he's not really the thing with Lou Will, he's not getting those shots. Like when he was with the Clippers, it was like, okay, there's gonna be stretches. You give Lou Will the ball and you let him work. Like he hasn't really had those opportunities. So when Trae Young went down, my first assumption was, okay, we're gonna see Clipper Lou Will. We're gonna see them kind of let him do his thing a little bit, do a little bit of ISO ball and see how he goes from there. But I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see how they react to it. Because, again, Trae Young, supposedly, based on something I had read, it's like a bone bruise he has.
He's questionable to play game four, but he is expected to play.
Right, yeah, he's expected to play. I was reading something. They basically said that if he does play, they're going to go through, like, the pregame workouts and all that stuff, see how he is. If he's kind of limited, they said they're going to put him on a minutes restriction. So they kind of want to see how he reacts, all that stuff. It's going to be interesting because if he's on a minutes restriction, like you said, look, Bogey had a horrible night. And honestly, yeah. I don't think it was health. I just think his bucket, the bucket for him just, it was closed. Yeah. There was nothing he could have done. And it's weird because, was horrible. And like there was a couple wide open shots that he missed. And I was like, that's messing with him. And then you saw him start taking shots, like very contested shots. And I'm like, when I saw that, that gave me the vibe of a guy who was desperate to try anything and just wanted to see the ball in the hole. That's it. He didn't care.
So you know what I say to that? I say give that man, your boy Gallinari, a little increase in some minutes. Because the Bucks actually are having a tough time containing your guy Gallinari.
Every time he gets the bucket, every time he gets the ball, he's like, and it's crazy because like he's playing. Like if you need to play physical, he'll go down the block and back John Collins down. If you need a three, he'll spot up and shoot it. So like, I personally, maybe it's just me being a smidgen biased because you know that's my boy right there, Gallinari. But I would put him in the starting lineup. I really would. I would try to find a way to put him in a starting lineup, or at the bare minimum, have him be the sixth man. At the bare minimum, because something kind of needs to change. Like again, the Hawks don't need to make a drastic change, but something kind of does need to be done, even if it's just for one game to see how it goes. Because you know, with Bogdanovich shooting, like you said, 3 for 16, 2 for 10 from the 3-point line, and the 3-point line is kind of his bread and butter. You kind of gotta, you know what I mean? Especially when Gallinari is giving you great production, that would kind of give me a notion to let's bump up his minutes a little bit. If you don't want to put him in the starting lineup, fine, but at the bare minimum, make him the sixth man.
Yeah, and, I mean, I get that, but it's like, are you gonna take away sixth man from Lou Will?
Proven
sixth man of the year multiple times. You know, he is the heart of. I just feel like they have to come off together of anything. Like, you got to make sure that it's centered around both of them because at the moment, Gallinari's a hot hand.
If you want to put both of them at the same time, that's fine. I'm cool with that. I don't mind. But like you said, my thing is, if I'm running a team, we know who's better. Like, if I'm running the Celtics, right? Marcus Smart is not on the same level as Jason Tatum. Not at all. But if he's hot, I'm not only am I putting him in, I'm running plays for him. I'm just gonna rock with the hot hand while it's hot because eventually
that's Blacktop rules. You give the ball to the guy with the hot hand.
100%. Like in Minnesota, when Teddy Bridgewater got injured and they put in Case Keenum. When Teddy Bridgewater got cleared, they didn't put him in. Why? Because they were like, look, Teddy's better than Case Keenum, but this guy is not only is he balling out, he's giving us wins. So, you know, so that's why I'm saying you should try to, even if that means Lou Will's minutes have to go down a little bit, so be it. But Lou Will has proven if you put me in cold, you give me a few minutes and I'll make it work. He has proven that he can do that. So like tweaking with his minutes doesn't really concern me because he's a guy who can like, I'll get my points one way or another.
And nonetheless, the minutes may be tweaked anyways because, like we said, Trae Young is going to be on a limit on a minutes restriction. So that means that Lou Williams' minutes are possibly going to take a nice leap. So maybe working either way. But, hey, game 4 tomorrow night, I'm very excited to see who wins in Atlanta. Come on, Hawks. Don't let me down. But now we got to move to the West Side, though, because Phoenix came out game 4 in a very ugly game. It kind of reminded me of that Milwaukee Nets game where they just couldn't even buy a bucket, and both these teams stunk it up. I believe it was stuck at 70-71 for the longest. But the Phoenix Suns ended up being the team that didn't crack under the pressure, winning the game, and now they're up 3-1, possibly one game away from reaching their first NBA final since 1993. Pride. I was 2 years old. 2 years old when that happened. You know? So what do you think? You think that they're going to win tonight and go to the finals, or do you think the Clippers hang around for a game for LA for game 6?
I can't believe I'm saying this. And the more I say this, the more I feel like I'm bugging. But I think they can win. I genuinely believe that the Clippers can get – now, I don't think they're winning. Today? Yes, I it's tough for me because I love Chris Paul. He is one of my favorite point guards of all time. So I want the Suns to win because I want to see Chris Paul finally get the ring, right? But looking at this and what's going on, and just looking at everything top to bottom, this right here is just what the Clippers desperately wanted. Like they again, 0-2 for some unknown reason. They love being down. That's kind of their vibe.
They're not happy unless they're unhappy.
Bro, that is the best way you could put it. They are the only way they'll be happy is if they're miserable. If I'm a Clippers fan, I am not happy unless my girl's cheating on me. My kids cannot be mine. And then after that, I need to get arrested. I'm going to be miserable, and then you will see me smile. Like, that's kind of the vibe these guys are sending me. So do I – what I – the their best chance is if they do a win by committee. Now, what I mean by that is I understand Paul George is your best player. I get it. But if you expect Paul George to solo lead, like to solo lead you, you're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. Again, Paul George last night was horrible. People are going to be like, yeah. Oh, he had 23 points. Oh, my God, let's clap for him. I'm like, timeout. Roulette. That's not true. Because the dude took 20 shots to get the 23. Do you know how bad that is? Bro, you know what kind of – that's Tyler Hero shooting, bro. The kid that Miami wants to trade. And you're getting that from a superstar? Self-proclaimed? Like, if – as long as they come out and Paul George goes, you know what? We all go and score. Because ironically, I was actually
– I thought he'd be 13 today. I thought he reverted back to 13.
Bro, the only reason I'm not calling him 13 is because there were a couple shots in crunch time that he made. And then the free throw that he missed, people want to kill him for. But I'm not going to kill him. When I first saw it, I was like, you're a moron. But then when I saw it in slow motion, when they repeated it, I was like, you know what? He missed on purpose so they can get the possession so then they could try to score two.
I give you no pass on that one. You know why? Because he would have had to do that if he just made the first free throw.
You know what? He made the first one. He made the first one.
He broke the first one, and then he missed it because they would need the ball back.
He made down
two one. Maybe we're thinking about two different instances in the game, but there was a moment where he intentionally missed because he missed the first one, unfortunately. Nonetheless,
go ahead. Maybe it was that. I mean, he missed so many free throws that we out here probably look, man.
He might not be 13, but he pandemic P for sure.
100% wrong. Right now he pandemic P. Not even pandemic P, bro. I'd rather have coronavirus than Paul George at this point in time. That's how bad he is right now, bro. Look, I don't like being that guy to always dogpile on him. But it's getting to a point where he has one good game, and then the next game, I don't want to call him a no-show, but you don't see him. For the people who know wrestling, guess what? You call him John Cena because guess what? You can't see him because this dude just for some unknown reason just can't ball out consistently. If the Clippers come out and do a win by committee thing, because look, Reggie Jackson, ironically, is, if I'm not mistaken, probably the best ISO player in these playoffs. Let that simmer. Before anyone kills me, let that simmer for 1 second. He is arguably the best ISO player in these playoffs. He has a true shooting percentage of over 60%, and he's averaging over 20. I'm going to say that one more time. He's got a true shooting percentage of over 60, and he's averaging over 20. There's only two guys in playoff history who's done that. Do you want to take a guess on who they are?
I'm guessing LeBron, one of them.
Well, one of them is Reggie Jackson this year. The other one, 2016 Steph.
Oh, wow.
Now, if you're in that conversation, you're doing something right. Dude. You're doing something right. So my thing is, if Reggie Jackson comes out and they run a few more sets for him, let him loosen his leash up a little bit. Have Paul George give – Paul George doesn't have to do
that. You're saying Reggie Jackson should have his own team? Because he tried it in Detroit and it didn't work out too well.
But that's different. That's different. I disagree with you there. That's different. And the only reason I'm going to say that's different is because this team, Reggie Jackson I'm not going to say that he's going to be out there averaging 30. But my thing is, if you have Reggie Jackson giving you an efficient 25 and you have Paul George giving you an efficient 20, then you're going to have Zubac has been kind of feeling a little better. So they're probably going to give him a little something.
That boy Terrence Mann.
Terrence Mann is kind of
– I like him a lot.
Terrence Mann is kind of the Clippers version of THT. That's kind of what he is. Like, kinda, like yeah. A guy who like – yeah, he'll give
he, you – He better though right now than THT. And I like THT, but he better right now.
Nah, I'll take THT. But that's
– He a bigger body. He more athletic. I like THT, but
– Nah, I feel – THT's their own, but
– You can't go wrong.
Right, and Luke Kennard, who's a legitimate sharpshooter. You got guys who can give you double digits. And another thing they need to do, they need to give DeMarcus Cousins more minutes. They need to figure out a way to give him more.
Do they time. Though? Because he can't deal with Aiden, boy.
But he'll do a better job than Zubac.
I don't know, bro. I think Zubac's doing an okay job. It's just hard to stop Ayton, bro.
It definitely is harder, but I do feel like DeMarcus Cousins, because he's more physical, I feel like you'll have a better chance. And at the same time, I like his offensive game a little more. But again, the thing is, if this Clippers team goes in with a "we're gonna win by committee," everyone's gonna have double digit points. I think they can steal one game. Again, I don't have them winning the series, because even if they win tonight, I don't think I think it's over in six. You know what I mean? Like
Listen, I'm gonna tell you straight up. Those two guys behind you there, those boys are sharks, and they're finishing it tonight, bro. I hope King Joppy watching, just so you know, your Clippers are finito, my boy. Phoenix is gonna get it done today. You know, those guys, Booker and Chris Paul, Ayton, that whole team, they're just ready. They're geared to go on to the finals. They're in the best position to do it. Listen, yesterday Devin Booker just said, "F the mask, yo. I don't need that. I'm gonna get surgery at the end of the season, regardless." So he went out, he balled out with a game high, 26 points. And like I said, it was a struggle there for a long time. It looked like both these teams, they really started feeling the pressure, and all of them were bricking shots and bricking shots and bricking shots. And it wasn't eventually until Chris Paul hit Ayton with the alley-oop that it really kind of broke the spell, put him up by three. And by then, they just took the momentum and ran with it. But listen, this big three is just phenomenal. And I just feel like right now they're just more consistent than whenever that the Clippers could throw at them. If they had Kawhi, I think this would be a completely different series. At worst, I think that somebody would be going 2-2 right now going into game five.
Yes.
But that's not the case. You know, the Clippers, unfortunately, they lost their big gun. The Phoenix Suns, they lost Chris Paul for a little bit, but got him back after the whole COVID thing, and he seems to be playing back into gear. Listen, I can't see a scenario where the Clippers win tonight. I really can't.
I mean, I don't blame you, because again, that's not crazy to say, because again, this Suns team beat this Clippers team, and Chris Paul shot 6 for 22, and Booker shot 8 for 22. When two of your big three has a horrible shooting night and you still win, I get it. The thing is, for the Clippers, they need to understand something. If we're not making three, stop shooting threes. That's one thing they got to get through their heads, because the reason they lost, because look, in the beginning of the game, they were getting blown out. Yeah. They were getting destroyed, and it's because they wanted to keep shooting threes, and they were bricking threes. They were living and dying by the three, which if you're making them, that's fine. But if you're missing them, you need to do something. You need to switch it up. Then they started working the paint, and then they got close. Then they got close, and all of a sudden, they're like, you know what? I feel like shooting threes again. And it's like if they can come in with the mentality that if the three is not falling, we work the paint. If they come in with that mentality, they have somewhat of a chance. They have somewhat of a chance, right? But if you're going to tell me I have to bet, if you're telling me I have to bet money, I'm going to go with the Suns, because the Suns obviously is a safe bet, right? But I'm not betting money, right? So I genuinely feel like the Clippers, this game is going to determine Kawhi Leonard's future. Because if they don't come back and they don't do something, Kawhi is going to be like, really? This is what I'm working with? So a lot is kind of on the line for these dudes. Until Kawhi signs that contract, there's a lot kind of on the line, you know? The Clippers just need to focus on the paint. I would not shoot a three till the second quarter. I don't care how it's going. I'm not shooting a three in the second quarter. I'm going to work the paint and try to make them tie. Because the thing is, if you're using and making DeAndre Ayton exert his effort on defense, maybe that'll make him too tired for offense. Maybe. I mean, I don't know if that'll work, but it's better than whatever they're doing now. They have to do something, because bro, 4-1. If they lose 4-1, I don't know, man. Because even with Kawhi, this Suns team is extremely dangerous. You know, so I just don't feel like even with Kawhi that the Clippers would have this on lock. And I think Kawhi Leonard is smart enough to understand that too.
Yeah.
So
I will say this, though. There was a very interesting quote that came out after the game. You know, Coach Ty Lue said, oh, you know, it's coming back from 3-1. It's doable. And for those that don't know this, you know, Ty Lue was part of that 3-1 comeback that the Cavaliers did to the Golden State Warriors in the finals. I believe that was, 2017 finals?
Yes.
You know, and I will say, you know, Ty Lue, it is doable, because you were part of that thing, and it's obviously doable when you have a LeBron and you have a Kyrie, and you know, like you need things to go in your way. You need the Draymond kick to the crotch a little bit to go your way, kind of thing. You don't have any of those things going on right now. Clippers don't have the history of magical comebacks. Nope. They cooked, bro.
And that's a horrible quote because you ready to hear the funny part? He was part of the coaching staff last year when they blew the 3-1 lead to Denver. So that's a horrible quote for him. So if he wants to be like, yeah, bro, I was there for Cleveland. Remember? I was there. You were there last year too.
You were there last year too.
Yeah, so don't gloss over that you were there last year and then want to hype up what you did in Cleveland. And on top of that, bro, look, you got the greatest player on God's green earth and the greatest player to ever play the game, LeBron James. You also understand you didn't coach that team. Let's just call it what it is. Ty Lue did not coach that team. That was more along the lines of, especially that series, grit our teeth, and we're gonna endure. And whatever happens, happens. Like, that's kind of what it was. I don't like when people try to act like, oh, yeah, Ty Lue out-coached him. No, we didn't. You can give him David Blatt, and they would have done the same thing.
I'm not going to 100% disagree with you, but I don't think that Ty Lue's voice wasn't heard. Like, I believe it was heard, but it was like a silent voice. It wasn't like Pop or Belichick screaming at you. I think that his voice was heard. He does pull that much respect. Like his voice was heard more than Steve Kerr's voice was heard, most likely.
Oh, 100%.
That's what 100%. I'm saying,
you know what I mean? 100%. But it's going to be interesting. Like I said, bro, like, smart money would say the Suns, but I don't know, man. I'm going to take the Clippers. I think the Clippers are going to come out. I think they're going to make some adjustments. I think Reggie Jackson is going to have a good night. I think Nicholas Batum is going to give you a little bit of something. I think DeMarcus Cousins will give you a little something. I'm hoping that Pandemic P decides to ball out. Now, again, you
trust him enough for some Skittles?
No, you're bugging.
No,
you're out of your mind.
I'll try to make a quick buck real fast.
Nah, you're out of your mind. Matter of fact, you know what? I'll take that.
You'll take it?
I'll take it. I got Clippers tonight. Yep. For Skittles.
I lost the bag on the Yankees, and we'll get to that later.
I'm going to come through for me. Like I said, bro, they got to make some adjustments. But obviously, let's be honest, if you're betting with real-life money, do not do what I just did. Do not do what I just did because I need a grace of God to save me from this. So more than likely, the Suns are going to win. But you know what? I'll be the contrarian of the group. I don't mind. I'll be a contrarian.
Let's go. Makes me want to watch the game even more. Let's 100%. Go. Game five tonight. Let's go, yes, Phoenix. Sir. But I do want to transition to a former player who now got a head coaching gig. Former Detroit Pistons star NBA champion Chauncey Billups is now going to be the head coach for the Trailblazers, the Portland Trailblazers, who have, you know, Dame Lillard, CJ McCollum, some guys you might have heard about. So I think it's a pretty sweet gig for his first time being a head coach in this league, and I wish him the best of luck. But Pride, what do you think? Good hire or bad hire for Portland?
I need to tread carefully. Because the thing is, this story with him being hired, there are so many layers to it. And let me start by saying this. For all the people who are mad that he got it, that Chauncey Billups got this job, and want to bring up what happened with him in 1997, I'm going to ask you a question. Did you bring up that same energy for Shaquille O'Neal when he got the job on NBA on TNT? When Kobe Bryant retired, and even more accurately, when he passed away, did anybody bring up his accusations? I'm asking for a friend. Because what I start to notice is if you don't like the guy, you'll make any and every excuse to make this look bad.
You'll find something.
Yeah. There was an incident in 1997, for those of you who don't know. There was a civil suit. Basically, a woman had accused him and his teammate Ron Mercer of rape, of sexual assault. They accused him. No criminal charges were ever filed, and he ended up settling it out of court. They ended up paying, giving her money, and it all went away. Now, if it happened or not, I don't know. I was not there, and I cannot say if it happened or not. But the fact that you guys are bringing this up shows me how stupid, how pathetic, and how much you guys reach to stop a man from getting a job. Damian Lillard went out and said that he wanted him. No one said anything about these accusations. Damian, after Jason Kidd pulled out from it, Damian Lillard then doubled down and said, fine, I want Chauncey. No one said nothing about it. All of a sudden, he gets a job. People want to bring it up. Here's my question. When Derek Fisher was doing all his womanizing, where were you at? I'm asking for a friend. Because the thing I notice is, if you don't like the guy, you'll reach. And you'll love, you love, yeah, everyone loves reaching until they pull a muscle. You feel me? Then when they pull a muscle, they got to nurse it. All of a sudden, oh, poor me, poor me. So to all the people out there who have an issue because of what happened in 1997, I'm going to ask you a simple question. Simple question. Has he done anything since then? And if he has, provide evidence. We cannot continue to punish a dude for something that happened years ago, over 20 years ago. And people still want to bring it up. I just want to throw that out there because that's something that kind of was bothering me a little bit. Because people are saying that this is a bad pickup because of what he did in 97. So I just want to throw that out there. If you believe that, you're either A, down so bad that you'll say anything so females will agree with you, or you're a fool. Now, whichever road you want to go down, that's yours. But understand something, you're walking that road alone. Now, is this a good or bad hire? Personally, I think it's an okay hire. I think it would have been better if you had a coach like a Rick Carlisle to hop in there, a guy with championship pedigree, because this is a team that wants to win now. They're kind of in a win-now mode. Now, I get it. Damian Lillard said, I want him. So, as your superstar, with him kind of already insinuating that he's at the bare minimum willing to leave, you kind of got to be a little bit at his beck and call.
They're kind of doing what the Green Bay Packers should be doing with Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly. Where they're like, okay, you know, we'll hear you out. We're going to listen. Let's see if we can make it work. So in terms of, do I think this is a good or I'll call it a good hire because I am closer to good than I am bad. I am a little closer on the good side. The issue is there have been reports that Damian Lillard has grown even more frustrated with the Trailblazers organization. Problem is, when these reports came out the same day that they had given Chauncey Billups a job, when they gave him that 5-year deal. Problem is he frustrated because people are coming at him because of what he did in 97? Is he frustrated because he felt like he's not being listened to? Or is he frustrated because he's looking at the roster and going, I don't think I can even win with this roster, to be honest. So it
could be a lot.
That, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of question marks still in terms of do I think Chauncey Billups can coach? Yes, I do. I believe he can coach. I mean, again, this dude, like, throughout his entire career, he's shown he has tremendous IQ. He's shown it every place he's been to, whether it was Boston.
Not only as an assistant, but also as a player. Great yes, player.
Exactly. As a player, he's got that cachet. My thing is, when he goes in there, the thing is, when you have a first-year coach, unless you have like a formidable big three, kind of what Brooklyn had, when you have a coach like that, there's what are you going to do when things get rough? What adjustments can you make? Now, I think he can make those adjustments. However, I just don't think this Portland team is talented enough to execute the what he wants. The reason I said get someone like Rick Carlisle, look, in 2011, no matter what way you want to cut it, that Dallas Mavericks team was not even close in terms of talent when you compared it to the Miami Heat team. However, they were like, we're not as athletic as them. But guess what? We're going to use IQ, and we're going to figure it out. And Rick Carlisle figured it out. So I feel like if you could get a coach like that to put you on a roster, which, okay, we don't have the best roster in the world, but the roster is manageable. If we have a coach who has experience making things work, we could possibly be in a better place. So that's why I'm not really a massive fan on this hire, which, because, again, And not to say that he's not a good coach or he doesn't have the potential or any of that. My thing is, if you look at this roster, they need a coach who's savvy. You need a coach who can finesse a little bit. And Rick Carlisle would have been that best guy. Obviously, Jason Kidd didn't want to, which honestly, I don't think Jason Kidd's going to head over to Dallas, which honestly, I think that's an okay move for him, especially considering he got drafted there.
Then he got history there.
Yeah, and you know, he after that, him and the whole Triple J Ranch, him, Jamal, and Jim, they all kind of broke up. He left, and then he came back in 2011, won him the ring. So him coming back, it kind of makes sense, you know? So I am closer to leaning that this is a good hire. But I just feel like there could have been, if I was them, I would have thrown all my eggs in a Rick Carlisle basket. Or even a guy like him where, like, you have success in, like, I don't have the best talent, but I can make it work. So I'm not gonna get mad at Portland because, again, like we said, you got to try to please your superstar. So hopefully this keeps Dame Lillard happy and it keeps him willing to stay in Portland. But that's that remains to be seen.
Yeah. You know, and I'm a second you. I do think it's a good hire. I personally like Chauncey a lot as a player. I remember using him in 2K. Growing up, that Pistons team was a great team to use. And the thing is that what I really like that he does bring, I do think that you mentioned it, that one, I think that a lot of former players now turn to coaches, walk into a team with a lot of cliche, I know the game, I know what happens in live action, I know what position you are in. It's not like, you know, you got other guys who get, I mean, who can I think of right now? Like Stan Van Gundy. You don't know the moment. You know what I mean? Like, right. at least Ty Lue knows the moment. Steve Nash knows the moment. Now Chauncey Billups knows the moment. Also, I like the situation that he came into because he has something that Dame doesn't have, that CJ doesn't have, that none of these guys on this roster currently have. None of them have tasted the NBA championship. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, they will have to defer to him. Like I said, on top of that, he was a great player. I don't know why you would have listened to him in the first place. Another aspect, we have another minority head coach in this league, which is a great look for the league. You know, and I remember, I think Chris Broussard put up the point on Undisputed one day. The final four head coaches that's left in the playoffs, three of the four are minorities. You know, so maybe that's something that the NBA has to take notice moving forward when it comes to the hiring of these minority coaches looking for a first chance opportunity. And I'm glad that Chauncey Billups was one of those men that were able to benefit from that possibly. So congratulations to Chauncey. But I do think it is a great hire for Portland and for him himself. You mentioned how there's, you know, these reports coming out about unhappiness. I just feel like everything is still better. You just got knocked out of the playoffs. Let the smoke clear. Let this new season start and just work there. Because, listen, you got a superstar in Dame Lillard. If you don't call Dame Lillard a superstar at this point, then – I don't know what a superstar is to your level because he is a verified stud. And then you got CJ McCollum, who I'll give him a star. He's definitely a very solid player, but we do think that they're still a piece away or two because they just can't seem to get it right. And I think a guy like Chauncey Billups, you know, knowing the game could possibly help them maneuver through some of those turbulences that maybe they just can't seem to get over with right now, right?
Yeah, I feel you. And I just want to say something because I said that you need somebody to coach who can, you know, in terms of you need to understand how to make the best of your talent when you're not that talented or whatever. I just want to say one thing, two things. First, I'm not saying that Portland's garbage. I'm not saying that they're a good team. Unfortunately, they have to go through great teams in order to make the finals. I just want to clear that up. And number two, people are going to bring up, oh, well, Chauncey he helped lead this Pistons team against the Lakers. Here's my rebuttal. He didn't single-handedly lead them. They won by committee.
If anybody ever won by committee, it was them.
It was that team
against that Lakers team.
It was that team.
Anybody in the history.
If that's not winning by committee, then we got
to throw that away. Tashaun Prince doing their – come on, man.
Literally by committee. That's by and committee. And a point B to that thing, there's a difference between being a player – and helping them lead them to a win and being a coach. Because the thing is, as a player, you know what to do. As a coach, you know, but you can't go on the court and do it. You need to tell them and you need to verbalize it and you need to like draw it up in a way that 1 through 5 understands and they can go out and execute. That I just want
to clarify. And then to add to that, and then you got a guy like Chauncey Billups who knows both.
Yes.
He's been in both those shoes because he has been an assistant with the Clippers all year. So, you know, he has been getting his coaching experience. He's been around the league for a little bit while, not for a little while now. But, yeah, you're right. You know, players look for a guy that knows how to do it and knows how to do it at the moment. And Chauncey Billups is a great example of a guy that could do both.
Yep, definitely. And like you said, like, and it, the what the main reason I – because, look, if Damian Lillard wants out after this, then there's going to be – it's going to be – I'm going to sound weird saying this. But if Damian Lillard leaves, I would give – I would actually sit down with Chauncey and I would actually give him a 7-year deal. I would.
I mean, you would have to because you're going to go through a rebuild. There's going to be some dark days in Portland.
Because of the bro, if you thought it was dark now, woo! Real for them, bro. Yeah, bro. But the thing is like, because the thing for Chauncey, I felt like the best job for him. I thought he should have went to the Pelicans.
Yeah,
a place where you have a young team. And now he's a veteran who can come in, help the kids out, and he can, you know, be with them a couple years so that way they can blossom and all that stuff, you know? So
you know what I think about that, Pride? Because I thought about why he probably took one job instead of the other. And I will put it to you like this, and maybe you'll understand this. Mm-hmm. I think he'd rather deal with high school kids than middle school kids.
I don't blame you. I get it.
He said, I'd rather deal with the adults than deal with the kids.
No, I get it. You know,
I'd rather be a college coach than a high school coach, kind of thing.
I mean, because the thing is, as you, if I would ever be a head coach, if I was ever blessed enough to be a head coach, and you gave me two teams, the first thing I'm gonna go is which is the easier job, and Portland is the easier job because think about it, of everybody on both rosters combined, who's the best player? Dame Lillard. It's not even close.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's not even close, and then everyone else is kind of fighting for second. So yeah. It's kind of like
you have a second there.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm bugging. Yeah. Everyone's fighting for third because it's gonna be him first, then Zion. But In terms of you know, with that, it's kind of like I would want to go to a place where like I have a superstar, and I have a star. They've made it to the Western Conference Finals. They're really only a click or two away from being legit.
You're like Portland gets into the playoffs. New Orleans does not.
It's exactly like the thing is, unless it's like a catastrophic explosion, with Portland, you'll make the playoffs. With New Orleans, you're kind of like, if we get in, maybe through the play-in, because they're not going to be a six seed. They're going to be seven or lower, so they're gonna have to be in the play-in, and then they're going to get us. So I get it. You know, I understand why he would do that, because, again, your first job, you want to have success right out the gate. You know what I mean?
And like so, you said, it helps when you have that superstar there already.
Mm-hmm. 100%. It definitely does help. So I just hope nothing but the best for him. I hope they end up going. I do want to my fear is that Dame Lillard will take Chris Paul's place after he retires. And my fear is that Dame will never win a ring. And I'm really fearful of that, bro. I hope it doesn't come down to that.
Well, hopefully they keep it together because you know, I think we all low key like watching Portland Trailblazer basketball and now having Chauncey Billups as the head coach definitely gives us more reason to watch Trailblazer basketball. So again, Chauncey, congratulations on the head coach gig. Do them proud, man, because I'm pretty sure you're the guy for the job. They're only a few steps away to actually make some noise. So do a good job, Chauncey. But you know, it's Monday and it's our Blazer prediction time that we love to do. Brought to you by Rocky Hill Accountants with over 35 years of combined experience. Make sure that you guys have licensed professionals handling your financials. Make sure you guys ask for Haiti. And make sure you guys let her know that your boys from Stir the Pot Sports and Clover Curse Media Group sent you guys. But, yeah, ready for our Blazer predictions. And, Friday we got some predictions. And some of us got them right. Some of us got them wrong. Julian, before we start, he said that some of the greats never won a ring. Exactly, and that's why I feel like a lot of players that don't win rings, Julian, should get some slack because if every player got a ring, then how special is the ring? So you're right. Take that into consideration for anybody who tries to discredit great players that never got a ring. But Pride, it's your time. You slay it on me, boy. Slay it on me. What was your prediction?
My prediction was that the greatest organization to ever grace God's green earth, the Boston Red Sox, we're going to give the New York Yankees un guayatazo. And guess what? The Yankees lose. We lie about this. We lie about it, bro. I'm sick and tired of people saying we not it. I'm sick of it, bro. Like, I don't care what no one says. I am willing to lose every game in the season as long as we can continue to sweep the Yankees.
You've had 6-0 against us already.
Say that one more time for the people in the back, because
I'm gonna push back a little bit because you're right, Pride. You're 6-0, but you're 6-0 against a crappy team.
No. See, and this is where I get my pushback. Beginning of the season, 100 wins. 100 wins.
Okay, but we're not there now.
It don't matter.
You're allowed to change your opinion as time passes.
And you're already telling me
we're not gonna make the playoffs.
And you wanna know why? Because of us.
Yeah.
And that's why I have so much, pardon the pun, pride built in this, bro. Because look, man, I've hated the Yankees ever since I was born, right? When I came out, my mother held me up, right? And the doctor had a Yankees cap. I flipped them off. That's how much I hate the Yankees. born, straight up born with hatred for them, bro. And every single time, and it's funny, when I called for the sweep, I was like, look, that last game is going to be against Gerrit Cole. I was like, I know what's going to happen. We gotta do damage in the first three innings. If we do damage in the first three innings, we're going to win.
I'm glad you mentioned that because this was me. Just like my man right there with his head down, that was me. Oh, man, Endeavors with that moonshot, bro.
Yep, and it's funny.
That moonshot, oh, you're both having fun. Yo,
the first pitch he threw, right, he tried to throw a curveball. To Kike Hernandez, it barely moved. He stepped out of the Green Monster.
Yeah.
And ever since then, it was downhill for him. And it's funny. Listen, I want to say one thing. This is the peak MLB right now under Robert Manfred. We put up 4 runs on Gerrit Cole, and the umps checked him in between innings to see if he had something sticky. I've never in my life laughed so hard, bro. I'm like, that's almost as bad as checking the dude from Baltimore, the knuckleballer, for foreign substances, for rotation. I've never in my life laughed so hard. He came out, and then Aaron Judge hit a home run, and then all of a sudden the Yankees fans had hope, and they were like, oh, my God, we're going to win. And then guess what?
I don't know which fan you talk about. It wasn't
I was on Twitter, right? Because the thing is, I'm going to tell you right now. Ladies and gentlemen, if you ever want to see something funny, go on Twitter, look up the losing team, and when the losing team does one good thing, oh, my God, the fans lose their minds. It's the funniest thing in the world. But guess what, bro? At the end of the day, the greatest organization. It's the greatest God's greatest. Come on.
And I'll say this, Pride. Yeah, I'll congratulate you on your win because you definitely deserve it. Listen, freaking Yankees lost me a fucking pack of Skittles, too. All I needed was one game.
And they blew. We need to redeem ourselves, bro, because we got a 4-game series against the Royals. We need to redeem ourselves.
Oh, yeah, because they gave you guys the business last time. So
unfortunately, we let them win. You feel me? I called up Xander Bogaerts. I was like, mira, loco. Cuidado. Oíste. Because you got the 200 Thursday, bro. Guess what, bro? I'm going to give you 2 guayatazos if y'all lose against the Royals. He passed a message on to Rafi and Alex Cora. So expect a good series from the greatest organization to ever grace God's green earth. The Boston Red Sox. So for sure, AJ. For sure.
I can't be mad, man. You guys beat us. You ain't going to hear much from me, you know. Sander had a prediction, too. You know, I'm going to make sure I get it for him because he did predict that the Tampa Bay Lightning would defeat the Islanders in the Game 7 and go to Stanley Cup. And just like they predicted, it happened. Tampa Bay went out there, and they fought a really gritty match and ended up being the Islanders 1-0, you know, which, you know, it just shows right there how tough that game was. Mm-hmm. Classic Game 7 from what I saw. And now they're going to be facing the Canadiens and the Stanley Cup. And, hey, I kind of want to see Tampa Bay run it back. I think that'd be
cool. And honestly, bro, I was watching a little bit of the game, and like that. If you never watched hockey, that's a game you need to get into because it was physical.
Yeah.
It was like when you called it gritty, that was the perfect, literally the perfect description because it was like it looked like they wanted to fight. I didn't know what I was watching. I don't know if I was watching Top Rank or if I was watching hockey. But I don't know, man. It looked like they wanted to scrap. But it was an entertaining game. Definitely. If you don't like hockey, bro, I'm telling y'all, get into it because it's like football, but even more physical. I'm telling you, it's like football.
Make sure you guys watch Game 1 of the Stanley Cup tonight. You know, Islanders in Tampa Bay. It should be good. And like I said, Pride, it was gritty. It was like fighting almost. And I wasn't even mad that the score finished 1-0. It was so classic. Like, it was like that. Whoever earned that 1 point earned it, you know. So Tampa Bay, congratulations, you guys on a big game.
And what's great about it is, like, I like games like that because, like, when you it's like a 2-1, right? 1-1, those low scoring games, they're still fighting, and you can feel the tension. And it's like every single time they check a dude up against the glass, you feel like, oh my god, they're gonna scrap, they're gonna scrap, because I'm crazy. Like, I'm telling y'all, bro, hockey's it, bro. I'm telling you, hockey's lit.
Yeah, I have a boss that he put me onto hockey, and I'm glad he did because I feel like I've been missing out for some time now. But I've been on the hockey wave for the last few seasons, and I'm glad to be into it. Definitely check it out if anybody that hasn't. But I had a prediction, too, that completely flopped. You know, they predict that the Hawks were going to win game two, and they actually got mollywopped by 125-91. It was actually such a very crappy game for the Hawks. The Bucks just came out the whole game pride, and they romped them. There was no chance for the Hawks that game two.
None at all. They came out. They kind of was like, yo, it's almost as if in their minds, they're like, if we don't score 120, it don't matter what this final score is. If we don't go over 120, we're losers. Yeah. That's kind of like the vibe that they kind of gave me. So it was, they definitely came out. They showed why they're the top seed, like one of the top seeds. Like they're, if I'm not saying they're the third seed, they showed why they were the third seed, you know? Yeah. So hopefully they can do it. So maybe we can get on to the finals, because that's what I'm here for. I'm here for finals.
And one more time, that was me again when the Hawks lost. I was the big Gary Cole head down because it was rough, man. Getting these predictions just wrong is suck. You know, you always want to be right when you get your prediction. That just blows when you get them wrong.
I'm speaking from true experience, right? I think I'm the only guy on the show who, like, if there was, like percentages, or, like, my percentages are right, I'm so low, bro, that, like, I am in debt with a percentage organization. Like, I am at negative. I somehow find a way to get negative. So that's why when I get one right.
You know what? I think I'm going to do some homework and, you know, look at previous Friday shows and see how many of our predictions we got right and wrong and actually get a number. I think it'll be interesting to figure out. And, hey, we might surprise ourselves. Who knows?
Yeah, bro, man. It was wild, man. I mean, it's tough. It's tough being wrong, I'm telling you. But when you are a fan of the greatest organization and the best baseball team in the MLB today, favorites to win the World Series, it balances out. You feel me? It balances.
Life is good. Like Drake and Future said, life is good.
Yes, sir.
We're Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you guys follow us on our Facebook and Instagram pages at Stir the Pot Sports. Also, check us out on Twitter at Stir the Pot Sport and on Twitch TV / Clovercrest Media Group. Check out the website, clovercrestmedia.com/StirThePotSports. And check us out on Spotify and under CMG Sports. Stir the Pot Sports will be there. You'll see our awesome logo. Point to it, Pride. Point to the logo.
Oh, hold on. Let me pull it up. I got you.
I thought you were doing like this because it's right there.
Oh, it's right there.
Other side.
I cannot point. I suck at this.
There you go.
And look, like, listen,
we got.
Yeah, and I just want to throw this out there. Look, your boy JJ, he works really hard, and I'm looking at everybody. And if you're listening to us on the podcast platforms, number one, appreciate it. And number two, I am looking at you through your phone. Go to the website. This man works hard. It looks beautiful. I love it. So, ladies and gentlemen, please go there. And it's all there too. All our shows are there too. They're all there. It's easy access. So please
check us out, guys. I do good 100%. Work.
Check us out.
Appreciate the love, Pride.
Of course.
My brother, Pride. I'm your host, AJ Marcus. Sandra Sanchez, our commission. Good luck with the baby, bro. We'll see you guys on Wednesday.
I ain't betting against that man from Akron, Ohio. I'm not betting against LeBron. If I'm Sam Darnold, I don't care how my career goes from here on. I could never smell the playoffs again. Doesn't matter. As soon as I touch down Carolina, I'm throwing a party. I decided to show a little bit of skin because we stricken, boys. We back. We live up in here. I don't want to hear no ifs, and or buts. This is my moment.
The Giants are running New York like the times as Danny is dropping all sorts of dimes. Saquon's thighs are ruining defenses' lives and Leonard Williams making opposing QBs feel him. Receivers think it's scary to line up across James Bradberry, and the Giants have a bright future led by coach, judge, jury, and executioner. Tune in to Drawing About the G-Men every Wednesday at 6, live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Which...